huddle up. It's time for Talkin' Football with Scott Hunter and Tracy Turner. Let's go, let's go. Presented by Greer's Markets and Cash Saver and ABC Supply. Stay with us as we discuss Alabama, Auburn, South Alabama, the SEC, and college football around the country. Brought to you by Bayou Fasteners and Clutch and Powertrain. Call now at 694-1055 or join the discussion on the WNSP app.
All right, we're back. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root on a Tuesday afternoon game plan. We're talking football with Scott Hunter and Tracy Turner. Happy to take your phone call, 694-1055, 694-1055. Happy New Year to you, gentlemen. Everyone have a safe and fun holiday.
We had a good time. Went to Orlando. Saw a good Citrus Bowl and thoroughly enjoyed that. And then came back Sunday, went over to our friends Ty and Kathy Cobb. And he has that TiVo thing, and we watched it like you coaches analytical. We broke it down play by play.
Oh, really?
The wives finally got bored with that, and they went off to get a glass of wine. But Ty and I sat there and watched every second half play, and we analyzed it. So I'll have more to say that as we go along.
All right. Well, did Coach Saban run it up on Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I think there's some background there in history. We might discuss a little of that I know something about. So.
Well, I'm not. I don't think you can run it up on Michigan. That's not exactly, you know, New Mexico State.
Well,
I think the talent is relatively equal, and you know, stop them if you don't want them to score.
Well, like,
and I'm a Go Blue fan.
Yeah, like Coach Bowden said, it's not up to me to not score. It's up to the other guy on the other side of the field keep me from scoring.
That's right. All right. Meanwhile, the big news yesterday: a couple guys going, a couple guys staying. Let's talk about Tua Tagovailoa deciding to go pro.
Well, I was comparing this to, if I made it my own situation, coming up my senior year. Those days we couldn't, of course, come out after our junior year. But coming up my senior year, I was getting all this stuff from, like, the Dallas Cowboys and so forth, and I was projected to be probably a second rounder and so forth. But anyway, I injure my shoulder or get hit by a freshman or sophomore in one of the scrimmages accidentally, and anyway, I got an AC joint, and I struggled with that my entire senior football season and fell to fifth. I was lucky to get drafted in the league, so I started thinking about that. Hey, we've been talking about, if he's up here, come out, but if he's down here in the draft, stay in. No, get out, get the money, get going while you can.
Right.
And if it's only going to be a scale, what they call the scale contract, do it like Eddie Jackson did. Go and play 3 years, play good for Miami, whoever gets you, and they tear up that contract and write you the big one like Eddie got with the Bears.
And Henry Ruggs decided to follow him out the door.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Henry Ruggs, that was a given there. I was a little surprised with Devontae Smith coming back.
How about that? That's the other one. That's a surprise.
A pleasant surprise, right, if you will. And, you know, the guys that were coming out, another pleasant surprise, Alex Leatherwood coming back.
Right.
I don't know really the what's behind that, but obviously the draft, the people that handle that kind of stuff told him he just wasn't probably high enough in the draft. Even though I can't believe nobody would like to have Alex Leatherwood playing left tackle for him.
But
anyway, he's coming back. So, all told, Mike Tindall and I were talking about this. All told, it's a pretty good situation for Alabama.
Dylan Moses coming back.
And Dylan Moses coming back. And got the six-year
Justin McMillan?
Yeah.
Is he
got the
back?
Six-year medical. Yeah, he got their six-year medical red shirt.
Right,
you know, the
right.
special
oh,
thing.
Oh, his mom said he's coming back, right.
He's coming back. So, and the NCAA, I guess, had to approve that six-year
special medical red shirt.
That
had been approved. That had been approved a while ago. But he hadn't decided, Root says that his mom said, yeah, he's coming back.
So what happens now, you got two experienced linebackers inside, the two young guys that played this year.
Right.
And now when they come back, they've got a pretty experienced linebacker in core, and who knows, somebody can maybe move outside and play outside with experience.
And plenty of depth, because this year was an issue. I don't know if it was because they were tired or what, but they had an issue. Had a chance to stop Auburn, couldn't do it. Had a chance to stop LSU, couldn't do it. Yep. And so now the guys are going to be fresher last 10 minutes of the
game.
Exactly. And even you got Theodore's Des Moines Kennedy, who could see some playing time.
I don't know how you can keep him out. I don't know how you can keep him out of the lineup.
All right. So overall, pretty good news, I think, for Alabama.
Yeah, and there were some questions. Tommy Zeman was driving by as I was walking in the door, and he made a comment that about Tua making his decision and going ahead, it clears the air. There won't be an entire off season of, will Mac or will it be Tua and so forth, or how will Saban handle this? Because, well, now, you know, Mac is the heir apparent. And, again, I said we were at Ty's house the other day and Cobb's, and we were breaking this thing down like a coaching tape, you know, play by play by play. And I watched the entire – I wanted to see the entire second half at the game. I was talking to Antonio London, who was sitting near me, and several other people, and Deborah, and blah, blah, blah. And I really didn't have a chance to concentrate like I wanted to, but I watching it, you know, with TiVo and all, play by play by play and analyzing it, Mac Jones played a flawless second half.
Okay.
He didn't make one mental error in the second half. And
I can share some with you if you'd like from my side.
Oh, from Auburn's game.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to see
it. You need a few mental errors. Let me give you a few.
Yeah. But I mean, his reads, his throwaways, and the things he did in the second half, I mean, literally, it was perfect. And it wasn't like he was up two or three touchdowns like sometimes Tua has been coming out back out in the second half.
Right.
I mean, he came out with Michigan leading. And frankly, Michigan had sort of had the momentum going into halftime. So he played. I don't see how, if he plays like that starting against Southern Cal in Dallas, I don't know how you get Mac Jones out of the open or out of the starter spot.
I would think he's going to be first up.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Unless, you know, I mean, Bryce Young's going to have to take it away from
him. Well, barring injury,
right?
Mac getting hurt in spring training or in August and then fall camp. But barring that, I mean, Mac Jones, he can carry, you know, he makes it happen.
Well, it helps when the big offensive line gets it going and gives it to the running back who the last five or six games of the year decided he wanted to be in the vein of some of those that are now in the NFL. What's the name of the one with the Titans?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And Josh Jacobs.
And Josh Jacobs.
A rookie gained over 1,000 yards.
And that's the way he decided he wanted to play down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. So – but I see coming back, running back should be fine. Gosh, Brian Robinson coming back. And then the kid that got his foot hurt and got redshirted this year.
Trey Sanders.
Yeah, the running back. He's coming back. And people don't even know who John Metchie is, but Mike Tindall and I were sitting there watching the spring game last year. He had like eight or nine catches, and he was the MVP, and he's catching the ball on Alabama's first-team secondary. So you put Metchie out there, Devontae Smith, Jason Waddle. I don't know if there's any drop off at all with that.
Waddle's awful good.
Well, again, talking to Tindall today, he said somewhere he read, he said, who is the most dangerous college football player with the ball in his hand today?
I mean, it's got to be Waddle.
Jason Waddle. And all of college football.
He was dangerous enough that it caused Auburn to do something funny. Alabama didn't react to it, but they were determined, we're not going to line up and regular punt to him.
Heck no.
We're going to do something that makes you get him off the field.
Exactly.
Or either we're going to be able to have 11 on 10 and potentially just throw it to a wide-open guy with our quarterback back there instead of a punter if you don't take him off the field.
Exactly.
Now, we know how it wound up, but – that wasn't the initial design. The initial design was to make Waddle not be able to field the punt. The rest was gravy.
Yeah. And everybody who saw the LSU game, he almost got his head torn off by the LSU punt cover and turned around and ran right through the LSU team, the band, the crowd, President Trump, and everybody else, and scored. It was one of the dangest plays I've ever seen.
Yeah. All right, do we know any other wide receivers who are ready to step up yet?
John Metchie.
Okay, I already mentioned that.
Like I said, people don't know about him much. They haven't seen him play much, obviously, with the crew they had.
Right, with the core that they
had.
I mean, Waddle had a tough time getting on the field.
Yeah.
Right?
But when we've seen him play, like in the spring game, I mean, they couldn't catch him.
Right. So we think it's going to basically be the same kind of offense.
Same kind. Right. And Mac will do the same things, the three-step, the five-step, the throwing out of the so-called shotgun and all that stuff. And nothing's going to change with all that. You know, you got the guys that can catch the ball and run with it. You get them the ball. And there won't be any running quarterback per se. Mac's job will be like Drew Brees. Get that ball out there as fast as possible to those guys and let them make yardage with it.
And we're waiting to hear about Najee Harris. Any thoughts?
He's going to the NFL.
Oh, you think so?
And he should. Okay. Running backs, right, as we know, have limited lives up
right,
there.
Right, right.
So get on up there and make your money, and he'll do well for somebody.
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, Josh Jacobs kind of surprised people this year. And honestly, I guess it took Derrick Henry a couple years, right? Was he backing up DeMarco Murray?
Well, I think when he first went in, DeMarco Murray is a pretty good running back.
Yes, yes.
And then
right.
The Titans kind of decided, okay, we got him where we want to get him. But
He had mentioned, I guess, he didn't take it seriously, which is kind of odd. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people who can make Eddie George look small, and Derrick Henry makes Eddie George look small.
Yes. I can't imagine Derrick Henry not taking it.
Was it that bowl game? I guess, was it Ohio State, Alabama? What was it when Mark Ingram came out and he's standing next to Derrick Henry?
But you got to remember, Dave, a lot of that about a rookie going up there is about, does he learn to pick up blitzes? Does he learn all that stuff you've got?
Right.
You can't put a guy out there that just is clueless. Yeah, he can take the ball and run off tackle.
Right.
But he's clueless about, running routes, and he's clueless about – blitz pickup, and you got your quarterback, your multi-million-dollar quarterback,
which was still very young, and that's Marcus Mariota.
And you got to protect that quarterback. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. You protect the quarterback under all circumstances, and sometimes rookies, young guys, just don't get that.
All right, let's take a timeout, Root. We'll do the other side of it with Tracy Turner. All right, Auburn had some surprises coming back. And we'll talk to him about that from our guests today. Is Auburn going to be preseason ranked higher than Alabama next year? Back after this. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Hey, this is Coach Tommy Tuberville, and you're listening to 105.5 WNSP.
Welcome back to Talkin' Football, presented by Greer's Markets and Cash Saver and ABC Supply on 105.5 FM, WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app. Once again, Scott Hunter and Tracy Turner.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Scott Hunter, Tracy Turner, we talked Alabama to begin with. Since he went to a concert on New Year's Eve, Tracy Turner is Rascal Flatts country music.
It was Riley Green there.
Well, right. I understand that, but Rascal Flatts has decided to call it a career after, their first of their farewell tours. Leonard Skinner is on farewell tour number 8 or 9.
As long as they keep paying you to go, right?
I don't have any problem with it.
It looked like Auburn was on that farewell tour as well on New Year's Day.
I was a little bit disappointed in the way they played. I give all the credit to Minnesota. It certainly didn't look like Auburn was, mailing it in as they had a couple years ago. But they had a tough time recovering from, being on the field a lot early on in the game. They got a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then they fumbled a punt. And the offense just wasn't on the field much in the first quarter. The defense was exhausted to begin the game.
Well, some of the things we've seen all year, the offensive line having difficulty blocking, as Scott and I were talking off the air, you would have thought that Minnesota was actually putting a lot of effort to make sure that Auburn couldn't run the ball, trying to outnumber them in the box, et cetera. That should have opened up the deep pass. The only problem is you got to have 3 seconds to throw a deep pass.
Right, right.
He would go back and either – by his own decision to leave the pocket.
Yes, I saw that.
Instead of stepping up and buying the time to throw it. Or
you saw that against Oregon.
Or maybe the guard that stays on the right side of the center whiffing on the blitzing linebackers or just anybody else just putting one move on. He was being forced out of. So they called 6 or 8 deep throws, and I'm not sure they ever got one off.
Right. So it was a little bit disappointing. We do have Chad Morris in. I'm told there's not going to be a revamp of the offense. They're just going to tweak it, I guess. And hopefully Bo Nix, you know, takes that next step where, you know, people say this going from high school to the college or college to the pros, that the game slows down. Maybe he's leaving the pocket because the game hasn't quite slowed down for him just yet.
Well, Chad has had a brilliant career in coaching quarterbacks. And so that'll be one job that he certainly does. He's done great with Deshaun Watson. Now it isn't like he started with a poor mold. You know, Deshaun's got a lot of talent. But he's done a really good job of coaching quarterbacks. So I think one of the first things will be to work with Bo on some of the reads, for example. He didn't have a great game on his RPO reads either. He would keep it when he should give it and give it when he should keep it and just some of those things. So I'm sure Chad will work on that. And I also think that Chad will work on helping to maybe make the route tree that Auburn runs a little more complicated and hopefully
I don't know about complicated, but diverse. How about
same
that?
Same word, diverse.
Right.
You know, use a lot of that talent
right.
that they have at wide receiver.
Yes.
Not saying they have guys, but they got bigger and taller and stronger at wide receiver already for what they've signed.
Right.
So, you know, Auburn is going to have a big, tall wide receiver group when they step out there against Alcorn State next year in August. Well, this year in August.
Right. But there's a big game two, which is a little bit bigger than I thought because, I mean, Sam Howell almost had 40 touchdowns this year. A Carolina quarterback. He's a freshman quarterback, too. That's a different offense. Auburn's going to have to go in and score some points. They're not going to win 20-17. They got to put 30 points up against Carolina. You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't
we'll
think
see.
So.
All right, so meanwhile, Big Cat coming back.
Carolina from the ACC?
Yes.
That's the All Candy Conference?
Yep.
There ain't but one team over there.
Okay.
I mean, that's Clemson.
I got it.
I mean, what did Florida just sort of play around with Virginia?
Yeah. Their quarterback didn't throw 38 touchdowns, though. Mm-hmm. And Clemson and Carolina almost beat Clemson.
Yeah, and look what and look what it did to Clemson. Mm-hmm. Made them mad. That's like poking the bear.
right. Big Cat coming back. I'm not sure that's a big surprise, but I think KJ Britt coming back was a little bit of a surprise.
I don't think he was getting the report from the league.
Okay.
There's not a lot of openings for a two-down player in the league.
Mm.
Did you see what happened to KJ at Florida? You know, they lined him up to have to cover
well.
The Did
you know, see? Yeah, but that's not fair.
It is, because that's what they do to you in the NFL if you stay on the field in the third down.
Well, so, you can't be covering the fastest guy in the field. You know what I mean?
When you start having the Patriots and the Titans
right.
and the Ravens and go Chiefs
right,
doing what they do against you,
sure,
you better be able to cover a little bit.
Well, yes. I still think the safety whiffed on that more than KJ Britt, but that's a different story.
Well, it was at least not the same one that whiffed in the Minnesota game. How far behind was Smoke when Johnson catches
yes,
the ball?
Oh, yes, that was a, you know.
My son
he
only
did,
said,
yes.
Well, Johnson caught the ball on everybody. I said, okay,
right.
I'll give
yes,
you that.
That's a tough name to have yeah. when
Auburn
you
lost
when you have
two
that
guys. I think Noah probably will be a second-round pick.
Right.
And as Scott said, you know, may not get the big money up front, but still will get more money. And then I heard you talking about a while ago, since players don't get paid, you know, they do get paid in a way. Their education's paid for, and they
sure.
get a sack of clothes like you can't believe nowadays. And then
right.
they get the full cost of
correct
tuition.
Which I didn't realize that was a thing until a couple years
grand
ago.
$6,000 or something.
Right.
You know, but they don't get paid anywhere like we see. I just saw Matt Rhule was making nearly $4 million at Baylor.
Right.
You know, so they don't get anything like the money
correct.
The coaches get.
Correct.
But I think it's a good thing for Noah to go ahead and go to the NFL. He's a cornerback. That's where a lot of money is now.
Sure.
Nobody knows about Nick Coe's situation.
Except you know, he's not with the team, though, right?
He's going to try the NFL, I understand. And,
okay.
You know, he has the talent,
right.
physical talent.
Sure.
So maybe somebody will pick him up and he can get things all straight. And otherwise, it looks like everybody.
Well, one less player. Your punter decided to go early.
Well,
is that a thing? Do punters go early?
Well, he's one of those Australian guys, you know. He played Australian rules football.
Oh, is he older?
He's 26.
Okay, so that's a yes.
So, I mean, he's a good punter.
All right.
But they have a guy, you know, they signed a guy behind him, and they have given an invited walk-on slot to the kid, I think his name is Gilmore from Thompson.
Okay.
That really a great kicker this year. Thompson won the 7A state championship upset. Well, they didn't just upset Central. They smacked them around pretty good. So, you know, I think that guy's another 6'4". Punter, kicker kind of guy, something that Auburn has had for how long? Have the Carlsons been there? And, I mean, supposed this one, but 6'2". So.
Right. Well, where do you think, and we're going to go to break here momentarily, where do you think Auburn is preseason polls next year?
Oh, about 20.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're having to replace the whole defensive line, basically, with guys that are going to go first round, probably.
Right.
You get beat in the bowl game, look pretty bad. Yeah, 16 to 20.
Okay. I think they're top 10. All right, back after this. We're talking football. Scott Hunter, Tracy Turner, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Welcome back to Talkin' Football, presented by Greer's Markets and Cash Saver and ABC Supply on 105.5 FM, WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app. Once again, Scott Hunter and Tracy Turner.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5, WNSP, a Tuesday afternoon game plan. We're still talking football. Scott Hunter, Tracy Turner. 694-1055, 694-1055, if you want to get in on the conversation. I guess dead period's almost done, and recruiting's going to kick back up again. These football coaches never can catch their breath.
No, it will end after the national championship game. So next weekend will be official visits. I was actually just mentioning Auburn and Alabama, which is one of the things, Scott, I was going to ask you. Alabama never really developed a tight end this year. They had the wide receivers that were so good, they didn't really need a tight end after losing the tight end that's in the pros now that was so fast year before last. And apparently, you know, in recruiting to this point, they have not gotten the tight end they wanted. They missed out on the one from Georgia. They didn't get it. It looks like the one from Vegas, Washington, I think is his name. So now there's a kid that was committed to Chad Morris and Arkansas. His last name's Frazier, and 6'7", 240, tight end.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody now sort of looking like they want him. He's supposed to come in next weekend for an official visit to Auburn. So everybody is thinking that maybe since he was committed to Chad Morris at Arkansas that might give Auburn an inside track, but that's one that I suspect after the 17th he's going to go on a visit to Alabama as well. So
yeah, I think Billingsley right now would be penciled in as tight end. Yeah, right now. So,
And so what is this for next year already? I mean, how many more spaces? I mean, Alabama had like 26 spots committed, although only 22 signees. I think Auburn's got 22 or 23. There's 22. Only a room. What's that?
Auburn signed 22.
Okay.
So there's room for
four or five. Okay.
Yeah. You have 25, and then potentially, depending on what you did the year before, you can sign people back if you have any room. I think Alabama had two spots as well from last year, and Auburn has two spots. So the word is he only is going to take 26. But if the right guy were to say, I want that spot, I want to come, I mean – but the reason he only wants to take 26 is he wants to keep a spot potentially for a grad transfer quarterback, because he right now will only have three on scholarship, and you really like to sort of have four.
kind of tough for a grad transfer because he's not playing. He's your backup.
Right.
Right? So someone, you're looking for somebody who wants their master's. Paid for, basically.
Yeah, but, you know, you don't need a backup until you need a backup. When
no, I understand that, but it's kind of tough to convince somebody to come in and back up. They all want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, De'Aaron King is not coming.
Think about it. The guy that is with the Jaguars now, they had gone to Washington State.
Sure.
The mustache, what's his name?
Gardner Minshew.
The guy, he committed to Alabama to compete, be the backup, and then Washington State opened up. He went there, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Well, he's on Mobile Bowl. I mean, Jim Nagy won't – I think Mobile Bowl. Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy will tell you, you know, that was a big part of his grooming process was to be down here. I understand there's you're always one hit away, but sometimes that's a tough sell when other people are you – know, LSU may be able to sell you. It's a quarterback competition when there is no quarterback competition here. Right? It's, I mean, Bo Nix's job for the next two seasons.
Well, let's hope he plays like it's his job for the next two seasons.
Right. And you're convinced it's Mac Jones to begin with next year?
Oh, no question. After watching and evaluating the second half of the Michigan game Sunday, watching it, you know, in TiVo there, he did everything perfectly.
How tough is it for a freshman – let's do it this way. Obviously very different. I don't know when these early enrollees started to go. I never knew anybody who was so in a hurry to get out of high school and into college, but they are. Well, maybe they were. But how much easier is it now for a freshman to come in and slowly learn and go over the film and be ready for spring practice compared to, you know, you show up, move in, and it's fall practice, and we're like 5 weeks away from football.
It's sort of impossible if you're going to show up in August, like the old days when Tracy and I played. You know, you might go to summer school a little bit, but that really didn't get you much of a head start. But now Bryce Young, for example, he'll start classes tomorrow. So he's in Tuscaloosa as we speak.
Sure.
You know,
all these guys, I mean, Mac Jones is a great example. I guess he enrolled early because he's already graduated.
Yeah, and Alabama got 15 or 16, I think, that early graduates. So they're already there. Bryce Young will go through spring training. You'd have to think that, you know, he'll be in the mix, not to start, but he'll be in the mix next year. I think his situation is he's got to get a little bigger. He's 5'11", 180-ish. He's got to get a little bigger in the weight and training weight program and so forth, and I think that's going to be the biggest gain for him because looking at him on YouTube, he looked very accomplished standing in the pocket and delivering the ball, reading coverages and doing that stuff. So kind of like Tua when he arrived, he's a little beyond his years in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to put a little more muscle on. So I think the strength, weight and strength program will really – benefit him a great deal.
Obviously easier to do in 6 or 7 months than in 5 weeks.
Yeah, and plus you're in a college program, not, you know, trying to do it in say, at Pasadena, going to a local gym with a trainer or something of that nature. You know, you got Scott Cochran looking over you, you know, and yelling at you and all that stuff he does. So,
no, Scott would never.
Oh, he would
Scott
do that.
Cochran wouldn't
but,
yell at you and
you know, you would think
snot bubbles or any of that.
You think, look at Bryce Young comes in at 185-ish, what they got him listed at. And I'll guarantee you, come August, he's going to be a more solid 195-er.
Right. 694-1055, 694-1055. What about these NFL coaching searches and the college coach? I mean, it is crazy. Matt Rhule, 7 years, $60 million. He's won at Temple, won at Baylor. Hasn't really won anything outside of a few games, and now he's going to coach in the pros. Let's ask you, Scott, what is the biggest difference between coaching football in college when you're the man? You know, it's you know, Urban Meyers, the Nick Sabans, you know, outside of the Bill Belichicks, you know, it's the players that kind of rule the roost in the NFL, whereas in college, it's the coaches.
You got a good point there. A friend of mine called me, this was many years ago. He'd been the offensive line coach at Auburn, and he had a chance to go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they wanted to know my opinion because he knew I knew what kind of coach he was and his style. And I said, well, I told him, I said, you're a great offensive line coach. I mean, techniques and teaching and so forth, But you got to remember, when you get to the Eagles, it's going to be a different story. They will have drafted some tackle out of Michigan or Southern Cal, and they've given him umpteen millions of dollars as the number one draft choice, and he will have had a bad game, say, against the Cowboys, and you want him to sit there and watch in those days film with him and work with him and get him and so forth, and he gets a little flustered. He tells you, "Coach, I ain't going to do that. I think I've done enough," and so forth and so on. You got to figure out at that point, you're not coaching, you're accommodating. So there's a lot of accommodating that goes on amongst the players and the coaches in the NFL.
Right.
As opposed to college, where Coach Saban's in charge and you do what he says or you hit the road. You know, they're not going to fire the starting left tackle who's got a big $50 million contract and keep an assistant coach.
Correct.
That makes sense?
Yes, it certainly does. It's going to be very interesting because he can't surround himself with his buddies and his coaches from Baylor and or Temple. He needs some pro coaches in there, right?
Absolutely, because the last thing you want to do is you got a 7-8, 10-year veteran in the league. I mean, he's played.
Right.
He knows.
Right.
I mean,
right. He's going to call you on your college
you
BS
start,
stuff.
Start all this college stuff and everything. Right. Yeah, you're going to lose him from the get-go.
Right. Right.
Everybody in that league wants to play and win. You know, that's the whole thing about the league. So if you can, college coach or not, if you come in and a guy's figure out, hey, this guy can help us win.
Right.
Fine. We're all in. Now, if he comes in like, say, the coach I had at Green Bay and he's really not an NFL caliber coach, and he's a little bit over his head as the Peter principle, if you would.
Right.
You know, those guys that played and had Super Bowl rings, they dismissed him right from the get-go.
So the first thing you Matt Rhule would do is maybe I gotta decide my quarterback. That may be more of an organizational deal than coaching deal, because if you bring back Cam Newton. But he's got to go get Christian McCaffrey on his side. And Luke Kuechly.
Well, yeah, you've got to have the corpus of the team.
Right.
You know, you've got to talk to them about what you'd like to accomplish and how they can help you accomplish it and so forth. But, again, it's more of an accommodation, if you will. And that's not a bad word. It's more of an accommodation between the coaches and the players than it is, get your ass over there, do this, do that.
Right.
No, that doesn't fly.
No, it doesn't. And you can see it. Did you see the Belichick-Saban thing?
No, I haven't seen it
yet. You need to see that, because there's a difference. And it's more sarcasm and more, you know, Saban busting chops. But there's a way that Nick talks to the players and their kids, right, compared to the way Belichick talks to the players and their men.
Yeah.
It's just a different.
It's just a business.
And, yeah, yeah.
And you tell a player, as an NFL coach, you tell a player, you know, what you like, what's expected of him, what you think he can do.
Right.
And you help him get ready to do it with a plan and a scheme and so forth.
Right.
And then if he doesn't do it, you get rid of him and get another one.
That's right.
And they know that, being the players. They know that's the ultimate thing over their head. Well, they'll get rid of me and get another one.
Yeah. How much is it as coaching, and I think the NFL compared to, say, let's say baseball, right? I mean, you can make some moves in baseball. You still have to execute. Right. Whereas in football, it really is a lot of, not only is it Jimmy and Joe's, but it is execution. But at the same time, it's how hard do you get the guys to play for you?
Well, let's look at it this way. If anybody's not playing hard, everybody knows it.
Right.
You know, this is not like you're a freshman in college. You don't really know who you're around or know much about them yet or anything else. You've been in there years, years, and years, and years. You know who's playing hard, who's playing smart, who's getting prepared to play, and so forth. And the guys that don't play hard, play smart, they don't last long. As I've said, the NFL game is a smart game. Now the college game is too. But it's a smart game. There's no room for any guys that go out there that are not mentally prepared and ready to execute. Everybody's good. Everybody's strong, fast, and big.
Right.
Everybody can throw the ball, catch the ball, do this, do that. Everybody can do that. The worst quarterback is only 100 guys in the league that can play quarterback in the whole nation. So they're all good. So it's
even Jameis Winston, right, and his 30 interceptions, throws for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
And everybody's good. The second or third quarterback is good, or he won't be there.
Right.
So, consequently, then it boils down to who has the best scheme and who goes out and executes. Because the physical thing is, by and large, there's not that much difference in the worst team and the best team.
You're right. Well, we saw that.
Whereas at Alabama, we play teams, and I don't even remember the score. It was, you know, we were just a it was a mismatch from the get go.
Right. You only have a couple of those a year.
Not in the NFL.
Well, we saw.
Welcome back to Talkin' Football, presented by Greer's Markets and Cash Saver and ABC Supply on 105.5 FM, WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app. Once again, Scott Hunter and Tracy Turner.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Tuesday afternoon, a game plan. We're talking football with Scott Hunter, Tracy Turner. The final college football game of the year is on Monday. It is Tigers versus Tigers, Death Valley versus Death Valley, LSU and Clemson. One of us may have 25-1 on LSU from August. We won't say who. I think LSU is going to win this football game. I'm not sure how close it's going to be. If you want to tell me Clemson can win it, that's fine. But don't tell me it's going to be 31-21. LSU is going to score in the high 30s or 40s in this football game. We'll see if Clemson can keep up. Your thoughts, Tracy?
Oh, I think it's another what were the scores of the two Clemson-Alabama games? 45-41 and 41-38 or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
That's where it's going to be. And might very well be who has the ball last. With legitimate time. A minute or so, 50 seconds at least on the clock.
Okay.
I mean, I think Clemson's offense will give LSU's defense a lot of trouble. I mean, Clemson can move the ball, and their quarterback can run.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to run much against LSU. I know he did against Mississippi. I know Mississippi's quarterback did, but that's a good month ago, if not two, by now. So, and it was 31-7 after he started running it. So that's a little bit different. Scott?
Ohio State's up, 16-7 and had totally dominated.
16-0.
Nothing.
Yes.
The first half. Totally dominated.
Totally dominated.
Totally. But Clemson, to their credit, had Ohio State scored a touchdown and three field goals.
Two goal line stands.
Yep. They ain't going to be no goal line stands against LSU. Because that guy can throw the ball, and they got some guys that can catch the ball. If that same scenario happens in this upcoming game Monday night, where LSU is dominating like Ohio State was in the first half, Clemson is going to look up at the end of the half and be behind 31-7, not 16-7. I think it was 16-7 and a half, right? Wasn't it 16-7 and a half?
16-14.
16-14.
Right.
But that kind of domination, if LSU begins to dominate the first half like that, it'll be bye-bye, 31-7 at halftime, and then it's a coast after that. LSU just runs a clock out. So there's a good chance, or a chance, I think, that could happen.
Well, I think if you go and watch how Ohio State threw the ball on Clemson,
they
really could throw it anytime they wanted. And actually, Ohio State was going to win the game if the quarterback and – as you remember, the quarterback had all day to throw the ball, actually.
All day. Right,
and
right.
The wide receiver and him just got – he thought he was going to run a corner, and the quarterback threw a post.
Yeah,
correct.
I mean, they had driven the ball all the way down the field, and they're fixing to score a touchdown and win the game.
Right,
and a touchdown was taken away from Ohio State on the fumble that Ohio State picked up and ran in for a touchdown. And
correct.
They called it an incomplete pass. I don't know how.
Which was brutal, yeah. No,
I don't know how you can take three steps and it be an incomplete pass, because if you caught a ball 2 yards out in the field and ran three steps into the end zone, it would be a touchdown.
Right.
It wouldn't be.
Also, you can go back to Muse, that hustle play. You know, Dobbins was going to score a touchdown and make it 17-0. They entered the fourth, and that was in the first quarter.
LSU 48, Clemson 21.
I'm with you. I'm going 48-24.
41-38 LSU.
45-1. You just want to win, don't you?
We'll talk about the game, and we'll be getting ready for some more recruiting.
All right. Absolutely. All right.
Good job, Dave.
We may be able to put a little bit on the tab next Tuesday if Monday goes as planned. All right. We'll be at Hooters next week. All right, thanks to Stephen Root for doing a bang-up job. Thanks to Scott. Thanks to Tracy. Thanks to Zach Blackerby. And thanks to Drew DeArmond for joining us. We will be back again tomorrow for another edition of The Game Plan. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.